It's time!
You're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pound for Pound. I'm your host, Andrew Canary, and I am here with Mati Dembele and Chris Carino, alongside Zach Cordova as well, who is our producer for this week. On behalf of Pound for Pound, I just want to wish everyone a happy holidays out there and a happy new year. But with the year wrapping up, it is officially award season in the combat sports world. So we got everything from KO of the year to event of the year, sub of the year. We got a lot to discuss. But before that, I just want to ask, how are you guys doing? Chris, I'll go to you first.
I'm doing well. Yeah, this is the time of the year where everyone's kind of recapping the following year we kind of just went through. And it was definitely an exciting year in the world of MMA. So I'm just excited to get kind of into it and talk about it. It's been a while since I've been on Pound for Pound, so my itch for MMA talk has definitely been there for a little while, so it'll be nice to relieve that a little bit today.
That's good to hear. Mati, how are you doing?
I mean, yeah, just coming out of 2023, so many good fights, and just generally, it was a pretty good year. Solid, I would say. Better than years past. COVID, we're still talking about. And yeah, for me, I haven't been on Pound for Pound much these last couple of weeks. Just my life is crazy. So I'm just ready to talk fights and give out my awards. I have some interesting picks. I don't know if you guys will agree, but I'm here to cause mayhem.
Oh, wow. Here to cause mayhem. That's quite the statement from Mati. Yeah, I'm interested to see what you guys' picks are. I mean, it's pretty contentious this year in terms of nominees, from everything from fight of the year, KO of the year. Some pretty, you know, impressive stuff. But before we get into that, I do want to actually talk about some UFC fight announcements, because I think it's just Dana White's thing where he likes to announce UFC fights on holidays. Like he did, a couple for Thanksgiving, and with Christmas and the holiday season, we actually have a few more. And interestingly enough, the first UFC 300 fight announcements. So I want to talk about this a little bit with you guys. The UFC 300 confirmations are now Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage, Jiří Procházka versus Alexander Rakic, and finally, Aljamain Sterling is moving up to the 145-pound weight class to take on Calvin Kattar. So definitely not like the main fights. I definitely heard some news actually recently that Dana was talking to Conor McGregor in like Abu Dhabi or something, trying to get a UFC 300 fight together. But just based on these initial announcements, are you guys excited for the 300 card coming up?
To tell you the truth, I really, really am. When you look at those three fights, I mean, Bo Nickel, Jiří Procházka, Aljamain Sterling, there's a lot of redemption there. That's what I saw with those first three names there. Bo Nickel is a guy that I picked a lot against, and he's proven me wrong about, four or five times now. A couple of podcasts we ever did, I picked against him. And this is going to be a big, big fight for him. I think it's a needle mover. I think the same thing is true with Jiří Procházka, coming off of a big loss that I thought should have been a lot closer. I didn't know Alex Pereira would destroy him, courtesy of Chris Carino, who called that perfectly. And then Aljamain Sterling, right? That's a guy that a lot of people doubted. You know, the DQ win to take the belt, and then he loses it to Sugar Sean. I mean, yeah, just a lot of redemption. It's juicy. And it's a lot of interesting narrative coming out of UFC 300.
Yeah, UFC 300 gets me excited, because I feel like whenever the event is really big and it's really blockbuster, I feel like that's when Dana kind of does his best work. And I feel like all eyes, not only in the combat sports world, but the sports world in general, will be on the UFC for UFC 300. So you know they'll put on a show. I know we already saw some fight announcements, so just excited about those. And also just excited about the possibilities of what this event can be. You hear so many rumors and so many, you know, just wild ideas, and just people, it's gonna be awesome just to see them finally kind of in a legitimate card and, you know, coming to fruition.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know me and you, Chris, specifically talked about UFC 300 being possibly held at the Sphere in Las Vegas, which would be a crazy,
Which they're doing, I think they're doing that.
I mean, I'm not sure if it's confirmed yet. I know Dana has like literally talked about it like as often as he can
Yeah.
because he really loves the idea of it. I don't know if they have anything like definite figured out, but I mean, I hope so. That would be a dope event. But
Yeah, if it's anywhere except the Sphere, I feel like he's like immediately underwhelming before the event even starts. You can't backtrack on, the event or the size of the venue or things of that nature. I feel like now he's kind of too deep into it. He kind of has to do a Sphere UFC 300, so we'll see.
yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think it'll be a fun event either way, but yeah, definitely I want to see it at that Sphere. That'd be cool. But moving on, we got some other fight announcements. UFC 298 is now seeing a Robert Whittaker versus Paulo Costa matchup, which should be very, very fun. Robert Whittaker was originally supposed to fight Paulo Costa before that fight got canceled. Then he fought Dricus du Plessis and lost really bad and almost made me cry, so that was really bad. But then we're going to see him take on Paulo Costa, which should be very, very fun. Paulo Costa has had a weird history with the UFC in the past couple of years, from leaving the UFC temporarily to coming back and having a huge fight with Luke Rockhold and everything like that. So, should be a fun fight. And last but not least, we have a couple fight night announcements. That is Aaron Blanchfield versus Manon Farrow, which should be a real kind of title contender matchup between those two women. And then finally, the rematch between Yair Rodriguez and Brian Ortega, which they actually fought for a first time, but the Brian Ortega fight, or Brian Ortega actually got injured in that fight, in the first round. So nothing really came of it. So they're finally rescheduling it. So yeah, some pretty exciting stuff. Do you guys have any early picks in terms of Robert Whittaker versus Paulo Costa? Do you think that's at least a good matchup, or what do you think?
What I will say is this. I'll say it's a good matchup because I don't know who's gonna like Robert Whittaker. The real question with him is, does he have another title run in him? Like after that big loss, everybody thought he was gonna take the title. I don't know if it's in him. And Paulo Costa, I think it's more of the same. Does he really have a title run in him? Like I don't see him as champion. I think it's just one of those things where I can't just see him hoisting the middleweight title. I truly don't know. This is really up for grabs. You would like to think Paulo Costa would win this fight. I mean, it's a long time coming. I think he's the younger fighter, one of the best stand-up guys in the division, strong, but he doesn't really move the needle for me. I don't know. I think this could be interesting. And whoever wins that fight, I'm leaning towards Robert Whittaker because I just don't see it out of Paulo Costa. I don't know. Maybe Robert Whittaker could like surprise some fans, but I don't know, truly.
Yeah, I think it'll definitely be an interesting fight matchup. I don't know if it'll be the most competitive considering where they're at in their careers, but Chris, do you have any take on this matchup? Or are you just
Yeah, I wouldn't count out Whittaker. I feel like when Whittaker is kind of in this sort of position, he can tend to overachieve. I don't know if that means a victory. I don't know if that means a domination of any, nature, but I do think that he usually tends to overperform in these sort of roles. And I could see that happening here. And Whitaker's a tough guy. With guys with that kind of build and that kind of makeup, it's hard to really count them out of fights like this. And I feel the same way. And I don't know, Paulo Costa is just kind of a weird fighter, as you said, Andrew. So I'd be kind of hesitant to put any definitive words on Paulo Costa.
Yeah, no, I've always been kind of iffy on Paulo Costa ever since he kind of like left the UFC and had his whole secret juice kind of thing, which was weird. And also just his fight style in general is just a little bit odd. But yeah, despite that, I think it should be a very fun fight. And at the very least, Paulo Costa is fun in his pre-fight interviews, so it should be fun to watch. But moving on though, I do want to get into these 2023 awards. Should be really fun. We got a lot of contenders. First one I want to get into here is KO of the Year. And we got a lot of good contenders here. The first nominee, Israel Adesanya, KOing Alex Pereira at UFC 287. That's where he reclaimed the belt for a second time in the middleweight division, before then losing it to Sean Strickland. But that's besides the point. More importantly, here, this is for when he knocked out Alex Pereira. The second nominee is when Islam Makhachev KO'd Alexander Volkanovski with a head kick at UFC 294. Definitely surprised me. I betted against that one. Justin Gaethje KOing Dustin Poirier at UFC 291. Another nominee. Justin Gaethje claimed the BMF belt there. And then finally, we have Sean O'Malley KOing slash TKOing, because I don't think he was completely out, but KOing Aljamain Sterling at UFC 292. So, guys, do you have any picks? Any, just, kind of tell me your thought process going throughout these nominees leading up to the one that you ultimately picked.
You see, when I look at these four, the first one that jumps out at me is Justin Gaethje. Everybody knows I'm a huge Justin Gaethje guy, but that's for a BMF belt, right? UFC 291. I'm not really thinking about that. Israel Adesanya, Alex Pereira was very, very nice to reclaim the belt. And it's like, just to reclaim the belt, but there's no movement at the top. Andrew's not going to like this. I think it's Sean O'Malley KOing Aljamain Sterling, your boy. I got to tell you, when you think about the UFC in its infancy, right? It was a company hemorrhaging money, trying to build its way up, and it really, really struggled early on. And to think of where it is now, Sugar Sean O'Malley is probably the biggest star since Conor McGregor, right? And with him as champion, what that allows you to do, he's now in the center of the fight world. He is the sun, and everything revolves around him. And he could sell anything. He could, like, right after he said he wants to take on Tank Davis. Or any fight with Sean O'Malley in it is a good one. And when you have a guy like that at the top, I know it comes at the expense of your boy, Aljamain Sterling, who's a really, really good fighter. But Sean O'Malley at the top really represents how far the UFC has really, really come as a global conglomerate in the fight world. And yeah, it was a super big event, and it really pushed the UFC brand forward. So I got to go with UFC 292. And it was a good knockout. It was a good knockout.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely was a clean knockout. And I have been feeling a bit better about that whole fight in retrospect since Aljamain, that UFC 300 fight got announced, and it's announced that he's moving up to 145. So, I'm kind of thinking like, I'll let Sean O'Malley, take the 135 division. But that being said, though, it was an incredibly impressive knockout. I'm pretty sure UFC 292 happened at Boston. So, I mean, yeah, it was like the crowning moment for Sean O'Malley, and it was supposed to be kind of a homecoming for Sterling, and then O'Malley kind of just usurped all that hype. For myself, I'm kind of more going towards Adesanya's KO of Alex Pereira, primarily just because of the thought of not only is it an incredible KO from kind of behind, if you look at that fight heading into it. Alex Pereira looked like he was really dominating that fight up until Adesanya was against the cage and threw that big right overhand. But also intertwined in that is a really cool comeback story of Adesanya trying to beat this guy who he has lost to sequentially like three times in a row, considering his kickboxing bouts and the MMA bout. So him coming back and just winning that fight and kind of, I don't know, just making a statement on that whole trilogy, I guess quadrilogy at this point, and staking his claim at the middleweight belt, was something that was really impressive to me, because I felt like, yeah, he had definitely had his problem with Sean Strickland later on, but this was kind of that was kind of his moment to really make a stand at that middleweight division to kind of make a claim to his legacy. I feel like if he didn't knock out Alex Pereira there, we wouldn't be talking really much about Israel Adesanya at this point. So purely because of that reason, I think that KO is for KO of the year. Chris, I don't know if you want to give your pick. Maybe.
Yeah, Drew, like usual, we definitely agree. I mean, obviously both of us are Funk Master guys, so that would be a little difficult and fake of us, I think, to a certain level. But I think even you could it wasn't a knockout, but you could even put you mentioned him earlier, you could put Strickland's flurry of offense against Adesanya in the first round. You could even just count that as, the best beatdown of the year. If not talking about KO, best beatdown of the year, and maybe the best moment of the year as well. Just such a surprising moment with just so much passion, and especially where that fight took place. But I think the Adesanya knockout over Pereira, obviously, as we just talked about, the hindsight makes it a bit muddy, but that moment, watching that in real time, you really think. Yeah, Adesanya's wall was, I mean, Adesanya's back was against the wall kind of already when he walked into the octagon, just kind of thinking about the situation. And then he's kind of getting beat up on, and you think he's even more back against the wall. And then he just comes out and hits a home run and knocks him out. And how he's taunting his son as well, which I thought was awesome. Some of the best trash talk of the year. Like, that's just like awesome. The fact that his son did that to him and now he's repaying the favor. And yeah, just that whole moment, what it was for that division, what it did for Pineda leaving the division, and now seeing the success that he's had, I just feel like it was such a pinnacle moment, not only just in these two guys' careers, but also the company as well.
Yeah, really crucial moment for the promotion. I mean, we can see from there the whole rise of Sean Strickland following that Adesanya knockout and everything that happened in the middleweight division. And also, like you rightly said, Chris, everything that Alex Pereira has gone on to do at light heavyweight. And if he didn't get knocked out at middleweight, I don't think he really would have done that at all. I feel like he wouldn't feel the pressure to really move up a weight class. So I think pretty much half of the stuff that we're seeing at middleweight and light heavyweight is just due to this knockout. So off the back of that, I think it's definitely the winner. And also off the back of that too, it's the winner for our producer for this week, Zach Cordova, who said in the chat, Adesanya KO over Alex, the moment slash story, the celebration, the speech had me in tears. Not to mention Alex was out cold. That is actually a really good point, I will say, because with the what's it called, the Sean O'Malley knockout, Aljamain was still kind of there with Israel Adesanya. He put Alex Pereira out cold. So I think that's my final argument. But I will say, Mahdi, that is a good pick, though, for Sean O'Malley. I'm not dogging it. But
Just
I
huge
do.
Aljamain guys. No.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just too big of Aljamain guys. I don't know. We can't pick against him. But anyway, though, I do want to move on to Sub of the Year, and we have some good nominees here. Actually, I did kind of miss one in my nominations up until our producer Zach helped me fix it. So thank you, Zach, for helping me with that. But going through the nominees, we got John Jones's guillotine over Ciryl Gane to claim the heavyweight strap at UFC 285. We have Alexander Volkov, Ezekiel choking Tai Tuivasa at UFC 293. We have Damon Blackshear twistering that. Pretty sure that's the only twister we saw this year in the UFC over Jose Johnson at UFC Fight Night, Luque versus Dos Santos. The one that I actually missed, which thank you again, Zach, was Alexa Grasso's rear naked choke over Valentina Shevchenko at UFC 285. And finally, we have Davy Grant's inverted triangle over Rafael Sanso at UFC Fight Night, Jan versus Davishili. So there's a lot of picks here. Honestly, for myself, I'm kind of more leaning towards the John Jones guillotine pick purely because of just the status of that fight, how quick it was, how dominant it was, and just considering the line storyline of John Jones and just him coming back and what that really meant for the sport. But I'll let you guys go first. Mahdi, do you have your thought process slash pick?
I'll go through these one by one. John Jones guillotine over Ciryl Gane. That was good, but what scared, I won't say scared me, what surprised me the most is, I know it's the heavyweight division. I didn't see a lot of technique. To me, it looked like a bear hug. I don't know if you guys will go back, but it looked like a bear hug from behind, and he just like weight drops himself and it just drags Ciryl Gane to the ground. So that's not going to be it for me. Alexander Volkov, his Ezekiel choke over Tai Tuivasa. I remember us talking about this. Tai Tuivasa showed nothing in that fight. I was actually disappointed in him. He was actually on a losing streak. I wasn't a big fan of that. I'm really impressed by Damon Blackshear, his twist over Jose Johnson, because that was from bottom position. But I think the one that I'm going to go with is Davy Grant, his inverted triangle. I believe he was in the air and then he puts himself on the ground. He like twists himself on the ground to like, that's what the UFC is about, right? One false move and that could be your last, and you could be in a triangle and losing a fight. I think that was the best one of the year. It was just like the surprise of it, how quick it was. Just one false move by Rafael and he lost the fight. I think that's what the UFC represents the most. I'm gonna go with Davy Grant.
Yeah, I mean, I could just go off the back of you there, Mahdi. My pick would have been similar to Andrew with John Jones and Ciryl Gane. I just feel like when a submission cements a fighter as the greatest in the history of his sport, it's probably the best of the year. No matter how surprising it was or how exciting it was, John getting that heavyweight belt, I feel like cemented, in my mind and a lot of other people's minds that he's the GOAT of the sport. And I think something with that level of importance, I just feel like you have to have it as the submission of the year. So that was really all. That was my logic.
Yeah, honestly, I think for me as well, just the status of John Jones's submission really kind of won the award for me. I mean, I will say just in pure and technical like ability, I think that Davy Grant's twist or Davy Grant's inverted triangle or Damon Blackshear's twister definitely are more skillful and should have won, because I was actually there in person when I saw John Jones fight. And it definitely was impressive, but I agree with you, Mahdi. It looks like he just kind of overpowered him. And it's been very clearly kind of exposed since then, and that Ciryl Gane has like no ground game. So it does kind of remove the prestige of that submission a little bit. But still, I think, like you said, Chris, I mean, it showed that Jon Jones is the greatest mixed martial artist, kind of debatably, on planet Earth, or of all time. And off the back of that, I think it definitely wins. Going over to our producer Zach's pick, though, he's got Alexa Grasso for sub of the year. Again, he says, I think the moment is also what makes it so big. Grasso came in as a plus 700 dog. That is great. Thank you for highlighting that, Zach, because that is true. I remember also being in the arena for that and seeing Alexa Grasso walk out there to the crowd, like booing her and like really thinking that she was just kind of a lamb out to slaughter. And then parentheses, thank you, Miss Grasso, for paying for these headphones that he's wearing in the podcast now. That's so funny. So she actually also made him some money too. There you go. But yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, I would say that that sub was definitely like two or three for me. I mean, just in terms of how it shook up the that division. I mean, it's completely different now. And also following that, Alexa Grasso proved it wasn't a fluke in the rematch with Valentina Shevchenko, which, correct me if I'm wrong, that ended in a draw, right? Yep. All right, cool. Yeah. So Alexa retains that belt and really, you know, just proves that that first fight really wasn't a fluke. So I agree with you. I wouldn't say necessarily sub of the year, but definitely like a number two, number three. And I know I see your face there, Zach. Sorry. But close fight, close fight. Anyway, though, I do want to move on to our next award, which is Fight of the Year. We got four nominations in this slot. It should be pretty interesting. First one is Islam Makhachev versus Alexander Volkanovsky 1, which is interesting to consider that both of their fights are on the nominations list, one for KO of the year and then one for Fight of the Year. So that just shows you how fun and competitive these fights were. But obviously, Volkanovsky versus Makhachev 1 was a really, really great five win. Really great fight, went all five rounds. Really, really competitive. The next nomination is Alexandre Pantoja versus Brandon Moreno 2. That's where Pantoja claimed the belt for the first time at flyweight and bumped Brandon Moreno off of the status of champion. Next nomination, we got Justin Gaethje versus Rafael Fiziev. That was just a really, really fun lightweight fight. Justin Gaethje always comes to fight, and Rafael Fiziev is a really great striker, so together just made a very, very fun fight. And finally, Shavkat Rakhmonov versus Jeff Neal. Shavkat getting that last minute standing rear naked choke submission to preserve his 100% finish streak. So guys, I guess Mahdi, it's I'll go to you again if you want to tell me your thought process slash pick. What do you think was fight of the year for you, and why?
I'm gonna keep it simple this time. I'm not okay.
Having a little trouble, I think.
Yeah, I think we're having a little connectivity issue.
Is
Chris,
where
if you
Zach?
want to go, or I can go.
Yeah. My pick would have been it would have been Brandon Moreno versus it would have been Pantoja Moreno too. And I have a few reasons. I think the first reason is it's just a war that goes the distance. Like, it's just a fun fight to watch. I don't think the flyweight boys get as much love as they should sometimes when we talk. I think a lot of it comes down to the premier divisions, the middleweight, welterweight, light heavyweight, heavyweight. But I feel like the flyweights don't get as much love. And, you know, even on the scorecard, you could see how close it was. It really wasn't dominating in either way. And I just think when I kind of looked back at the year, when I kind of thought about what was the most enjoying fight and, you know, just unbiasedly, what did I think was the most impressive, just live in the moment, I feel like this Pantoja Moreno fight, and especially it being the rematch as well, I just think, you know, all those elements kind of come together to make it the fight of the year.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, that Pantoja fight was so much fun. And also him defending the belt in the last pay-per-view of the year with his
Yeah.
fight against Brandon Royval, just, you know, kind of cementing that this whole fight, you know, really he deserves to be at the top of the weight class. It was an
Yeah.
impressive fight. And yeah, I mean, really, really good stuff. For myself, for fight of the year, I think I'm leaning more towards Justin Gaethje versus Rafael Fiziev. And I know that that's a bit of a weird pick, to be quite honest with you, and I totally get it. It's not really for a belt or anything like that. But honestly, I'm just a real big fan of just hard, gritty fights. And if you look at that fight, like Rafael Fiziev's face coming out of that fight, it looks like he got hit by like a truck. It's insane. And same with Justin Gaethje too. He looked like he was
Recording in
battered and just
progress.
battered. Oh.
Body's back.
What are you back? All right, good. Mahdi's back. Anyway, I was just telling him my fight
Perfect.
of the year pick. What I was just saying though was yeah, I think that that fight was just really, really fun. Fought hard over three rounds. There was knockdowns, really, really fun stuff, and just a lot of damage all around. And it kind of proved who was going to be the next contender at lightweight. obviously, Rafael Fiziev did not come out on top of that, and it looks like he's kind of trying to make his way through lightweight division now. But I think that that was just a really, really fun fight overall. But Mahdi, if you want to give your pick of fight of the year, I don't know if you're prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna keep it simple. I'm gonna go with Islam versus Alexander Volkanovski, the first fight around. Again, Islam, to his credit, I don't know if anybody knows this, 2023 Fighter of the Year. I believe he was awarded that. I'm not too sure. Yeah, I believe he was awarded 2023 Fighter of the Year. Those two guys will be in tandem for like the rest of time, right? One and two, or who's really one, 1A, 1B. And it's really a storyline that I probably won't get tired of. Like if they were to throw out a third fight right now, I'd be like, hell yeah, let's do it. I thought the second fight was premature, but I definitely wanted it. If this goes to four, like Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor, I'm all for it. These guys are going to be in tandem forever. Two great fighters. I think Alexander Volkanovski is probably the best pure kickboxer in the UFC. I love him. He's a workhorse. He'll take on anybody. He'll fight Jon Jones today if he has to. And Islam Makhachev is just like he's a perfect fighter. Like he's just a perfect fighter. I love those two. The first fight, the narrative, you know, Islam got the decision, but Alexander won the hearts. It was just perfect, and it was just an awesome fight. I just love that fight so much.
Yeah, no, honestly, I think that fight lived up to kind of everyone's hopes and dreams of what they thought. Number one pound for pound, number two pound for pound coming together clash. That's what everyone hoped it would be, and it definitely lived up to expectations. So yeah, no, that's a good pick. And we actually all have different picks, so I'm kind of glad for that. To wrap this segment up though, Zach, what's your pick? Oh, nice. Makhachev versus Volk one. So you agree with Mahdi. He said fight of the year. Nobody believed in Volk coming in. And the fight was so close, had people arguing who actually won. You know what? That is actually a really good point. I will say just the entire argument and discussions that came out of that fight, which eventually led the path to that second fight, the rematch. That was really, really fun. Yeah, that is a good point. Good pick, guys. All right, well, moving on, we got event of the year. And let me just pull up. All right, cool. Yeah, so event of the year, we have UFC 290, UFC 291, UFC 285, and then finally UFC 287. Mahdi, I'll go to you first. I mean, what was your favorite event to watch, and any reason specifically why? Was it just the fight card? Was it who was specifically fighting? What happened? The results? Tell me. Let me know.
I'll go with UFC 287. I believe of all four of these events, it was probably the second, like the total gate was probably the second highest. I know it was at like 11 million, 12 million. It was ridiculous. But the card, Alex Pereira, Israel Adesanya was on that card. Gilbert Burns, who I still think in my heart of hearts and my kind of delusional heart of hearts, can somehow be a champion at welterweight. Jorge Masvidal, everybody's favorite, like journeyman. Rob Font versus Adrian Yanez, which was a very, very good fight, which I got wrong, of course, to Riley, but that was a very, very good fight. Yeah, the card overall was very, very solid. I know Kevin Holland, of course, was on this fight. I believe he fought Ponzinibbio, if I'm not mistaken, but that fight was just amazing. Yeah, 20 million, 20,000 people in attendance. Like, that's my favorite of these four, just reading it off card by card.
Got you. Solid pick. Solid pick. For myself, I think I'm leaning more towards UFC 291 just purely because of how the main card played out. I mean, in the main event, we obviously saw Justin Gaethje get the BMF belt against Dustin Poirier. But going throughout the entire main card, I mean, other than the Jan Błachowicz Alex Pereira fight, which was pretty fun in its own right, all of the fights on the main card ended in finishes, which was really, really fun to see. Derek Lewis got that crazy flying knee. Bobby Green was able to beat Tony Ferguson, which is becoming a recurring theme in 2023. And then finally, the final fight, Kevin Holland got that really cool dark choke submission over Michael Chiesa. So overall, I felt like it was a really, really fun card. We also saw Roman Kopylov get a really cool head kick. So all in all, I felt like it was just a really fun night. Yeah, it didn't have the status as some of these other UFC cards where you saw Jon Jones returning or Israel Adesanya fighting, or however many legends you want to mention. But that being said, though, I think it was just overall a really fun card.
I had 91. I had 291 as well, including preliminary and main card. 7 of the 9 fights finished in finishes, which is really exciting. I think any card that you have a Gaethje KO head kick, a Pineda decision at light heavyweight, a Derek Lewis win in TKO, lightweight Bobby Green win over Tony Ferguson, and then another Kevin Holland submission, as you said, that choke against Chiesa. Like, that's just a stacked main card full of talent both ways. Victor and, the person who lost. It's just overall just a lot of guys who can really go at it. 10 guys who are really just draws in every single way. And this is a really big card. I don't think it's a card that blew your socks off in the moment, but when you kind of look back on the year and the most stacked cards of the year, you have to talk about this one. And I think it topped my list for the biggest card of the year.
I'm glad you agree with me, Chris. We got our pick from our producer, Zach, and he is saying UFC 290 International Fight Week in Vegas. I'm kind of agreeing with you here. I mean, you are saying some facts. He said 4 straight back-to-back bangers on the main card. Hooker v. Turner, that was an amazing fight. I feel like I think that might have gone fight of the night, I believe. I'm not sure. Then Whitaker Duplessis, Moreno Pantoja, and then Volk versus Rodriguez. Yeah. Honestly, that I would say, like, holistically in terms of like star power and finishes, I think that probably is like the best pick for card of the year. But honestly, I think I'm a little partial to UFC 291, but I do like the pick though, Zach. That was really, really solid. But yeah, I think with that, that just about wraps up our award ceremony. I'm sure I'll come up with another one or two awards that we can talk about next week, something like that. But with that, I think that just wraps about, just wraps up this episode of Compound Pound. Before I go, I want to give a huge thanks to my always great co-host Chris Carino and Monty Dembele for taking some time out of their busy holiday season to talk some cage. Always some cage heads around here. Also, huge shout out to our producer Zach Cordova for this week. I've been Andrew Canary, and Pound for Pound is a production of WFUV Sports.